Ah, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Dyslexic Heart Podcast, number two.
Numero dos.
We're back a month later. Mm-hmm. We promised we would do it again sometime.
Now we're fulfilling that promise.
Here we are. All right. So, I think all our listeners should give themselves a round of applause for listening to a podcast today.
Yeah. Thanks for coming out to see live or recorded podcasting or something.
We go to a comedy club in Minneapolis called Acme, and they always encourage us to give ourselves a round of applause for coming out to see live comedy. So I like to spread that. I always think it's awkward.
It is awkward. And it's, what is it played over that Joe Satriani song with
Eric Johnson song? Yeah.
Oh, Eric Johnson.
We'll get to that later. I thought it was Joe Satriani until I did a little research.
Oops. Yep. It is on Guitar Hero, though.
No, it's a different one.
Really?
It's close to a Joe Satriani song, but it's Eric Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
I'm learning stuff tonight.
Yeah. So here we are, number two. And once again, we don't have anything to talk about, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yep.
So.
You want to play a little background music? Or
what do you need to hear?
I don't know.
We're going to do. We've got
How about something from Jason Donovan?
Nothing there on my app. I don't even know who that is.
He used to star with Kylie Minogue in a soap opera called Neighbors.
Why are you on this kick with this shitty British music from the 80s?
I don't know. Are you dissing Bananarama?
Yeah. They were not. The production on their albums could not have been worse.
You hate Stock Aitken Waterman, don't you?
The production is
so
shitty.
He's responsible for Astley.
If you listen to Bananarama, it sounds like it was filtered through a pile of shit was covering the microphones. It's just so, it sounds so bad. Horrible production. So, right. And then there's the music, which, I can.
It's poppy.
Bananarama, I don't hate it, but I don't really like it all that much. Yeah, I just.
Kylie Minogue, Locomotion.
Yeah.
I Should Be So Lucky.
Not so much.
Lucky, lucky, lucky.
Yeah. No, not so much. I like a good pop song, but I don't like that particular milieu.
Ah, okay.
So is there something more appealing that I could put on?
We're
getting ready for a trip to Vegas, but I don't want to play any Vegas music because this is our non-Vegas podcast. So.
Pick something poppy that you like.
Something poppy that I like. All right, that I want to turn the people onto. I was playing a lot of pop last night. What was I cranking up? What hits?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. Shit. Well, this show is awesome so far.
Yeah, we're off to a great start.
Say something here while I try to find some interesting music on my iPod.
It is.
I guarantee whatever I play is going to make people quit listening anyway. Oh, no, here's something poppy that's not all that.
We'll be talking over it, so.
That's true. We'll play, this is poppy.
What you got for us here?
Lemonheads.
Ooh, I like them.
They're poppy, but not too offensively poppy. Nice
As
job.
As I kick over my mic stand.
That's nice.
Just
Evan
trying
Dando.
To get more comfortable.
Did we talk about, we talked about their Uptown show on the last show, didn't we? The Evan Dando show?
The train wreck that was the Evan Dando show, I believe.
We may have.
I know we have in the past.
Yeah, well. So we don't really generally plan things for the Dyslexic Heart podcast.
It is a train wreck. As
but
it happens.
I did a little planning, so I do have a special treat for you later in the show.
You do.
Yeah.
It's the 4th of July, so there might be some loud noises in the background, fireworks and such.
And there might be a dog going apeshit because one of our dogs gets really panicky around loud noises, so we'll see how he does. Poor little guy.
It's our theory that he used to live in the hood and he used to hear a lot of loud noises.
Gunfire, for example.
Caps being popped in people's asses and shit.
Yep. He's a little
skittish. Poor little guy.
Evan Dando.
Poor Otis thought he escaped to the suburbs.
So far, this show really sucks, but we've got some fun stuff coming up for you later. I'm going to embarrass the hell out of myself, and you're going to love it.
It'll be awesome. I can't believe you hate Stock Aitken Waterman that much.
It's just not good music. I mean,
I know it's not good. I won't defend it as being like, oh God, this is like the most groundbreaking, amazing.
When I say good music, I don't mean good music in the terms of like influential music. I mean, there's just
it's not even that pop.
I mean, like it's poppy, but it's not.
Is it because it's formulaic?
No, because I don't have a problem with formulaic.
Yeah, because Wikipedia broke down their chord structure and said if you listen to this song and if you adjusted it up one key, it would be this song.
It's just not... There's something about it that's just not all that interesting. So, go lay on the bed, buddy. Oh, he's so scared.
Yeah, he's pacing a little bit.
Yeah. That's kind of sad. It makes me sad when my dogs are scared.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Evan Dando and Lemonheads.
Mm-hmm.
My alcoholic friend.
One of many.
Yeah.
So then.
So, do we want to bust right into my humiliation?
Let's bust right into it, because I think anything leading up to that, we're like, I feel like we're stalling, and I think we just need to go into it.
Okay, so let me explain. When I was in high school, throughout my life, I've been a big time stand-up comedy fan. I like stand-up comedy. And when I was in high school, I used to listen to comedy albums religiously. And there were a few of them, like Dennis Miller's Off-White album. I still can quote almost the entire album. I listened to it so much when it first came out.
Is that the one you quote every time we get on a plane?
Exactly. Yeah, he does a whole bit about flight attendants and the... Yeah. So I know that inside and out. And there's some others from that era, from the late 80s, that were staples in my collection. And so I was really into stand-up comedy. I still am a fan of stand-up comedy and the art form that is stand-up comedy, but back then I was really into it. And at one point, I never really like thought, someday I'm going to be a stand-up comic. I never really had that, like, that's going to be my career.
That burning desire. That,
no,
like...
However, apparently at one point it was a passing thought that maybe, I don't know, maybe I would do, I don't know. At some point I decided I'm going to write a stand-up act, okay?
All right.
I don't remember this event happening. I don't remember
sitting down to do it.
I don't remember sitting down to do it, but luckily I don't throw things away. So I do. I have these notebooks from high school filled with embarrassment, and most of which I will not. Most of which I will not make public. However, there are some things in here that I'm like, okay, I can share this. So I thought that for the first time ever, it might be entertaining for me to do my stand-up act from 1989.
All right.
Which I've never done. Nobody's ever heard this. It's some awesome material, let me tell you.
I haven't even heard this.
I was reading it earlier, and
I heard the laughter from the basement.
I was laughing. It's horrible, but funny because it's horrible. There's some other things in these notebooks I may share with you, too. Actually, here's something I opened to. I drew a picture of a condom with a face on it. Robbie Rubber says, before you bag her, sheathe your dagger. And Robbie Rubber, this little character I drew, saying, no glove, no love. I might have to scan. I'll see if I can scan this and put it on the website.
Can I break in and tell you?
Please.
That's way better than the ad I saw at the top of the Health Partners site this week. They're trying to sell sell these plush like syringes and pee cups, and they're trying to make pee cups more friendly.
Wasn't it PDP cup? That is creepy.
I know.
Yeah, we have a trembly dog. I feel so bad.
Buddy.
But Robbie Rubber is fucking hilarious. And I'm not a good, I cannot draw for shit, so it makes me think that I copied this from somewhere. So whoever came up with the concept of Robbie Rubber, you're hilarious, dude. But Robbie Rubber is giving the thumbs up while saying no glove, no love.
Yep. The condom has two thumbs.
Yeah.
And two hands, I should say.
That's funny. I wonder where I came up with that. And then here you can see that at the time I was, the music I was into, and this is weird because I'm a fan, I've been a fan for a long time of Poison, But on this page of my notebook, it has Poison with a circle and a line through it. That week, I was not into Poison. However, I was heavily into Slave Raider. Slave Raider is more obscure. Actually, you know what? In order to get ready for my stand-up debut,
you need to play some Slave Raider.
Since that was the music I was apparently listening to at the time, and I was hoping that I have had Slave Raider's Take the World by Storm album. That was the one that was really I was really into, but I don't. I have their other album here, which is called What Do You Know About Rock and Roll? So we'll play a little bit of that while I get... Oh, yeah, that's metal. Under the governing laws of the Federation, rock and roll has been banned. Now what's this all about? You stand before us, rock and roll, if no doubt. What do you know about rock and roll? Yeah.
What do you know about rock and roll?
I know that Slave Raider only had two albums before they, at least two major label albums before they ended up disbanding and then reuniting 400 times and then disbanding again. Twin Cities metal, this is the Twin Cities metal scene of the 80s.
What about Chameleon?
No, they weren't metal.
Oh.
I don't know what the hell they were. Chameleon
they
is
were
the band.
They were Yanni fronted.
Yeah, they were the band that spawned Yanni. They were not good, clearly. Oh, yeah. Chainsaw Kane on lead vocals. Tisha Ray. Gotta love Slave Raider. Alright, so anyway, I was really into Slave Raider, according to this page in my notebook.
And not so much into Poison.
See, look at this. Whole page dedicated to the Slave Raider logo. How much time did I spend working on metal band logos?
Huh.
A lot. They're all over the place on this notebook.
I used to have a notebook covered in logos, but they were slightly less rockin' and more poppy.
Here's a page where I was making fun of one of my high school teachers, but it's in the style of the Slave Raider logo. Carl Braulio on tour, the Bore Me to Death tour. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Are we ready?
So that's Slave Raider.
Are we ready to hear some live comedy?
Yeah, let me get ready here. We have to have the proper intro and everything, so I feel like I'm at the comedy club. So I was able to find the song Cliffs of Dover by Eric Johnson. There it is. Just like being at Acme.
Uh-huh.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Acme Comedy Club Company in Minneapolis. Give yourself a round of applause for coming out to see live comedy tonight.
Woo!
Always awkward. Please welcome your headliner tonight, Tim Dressen. 17 years old. And your
will your voice break halfway through the performance?
Your featured act tonight, also 17 year old Tim Dressen from St. Paul. And welcome your MC, 17 year old Tim Dressen.
The Dressen triple threat.
Apparently I have at least 4 minutes of material here, I think. All right. Thank you, Eric Johnson. All right. This is going to be horrible. Okay.
No, it's not. This is going to be awesome.
Word for word out of my I wrote down everything. This is word for word out of my notebook, my stand-up comedy routine from 1989. Ready? Ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to laugh? Some of it is still timely.
Okay.
For example, the first bit. What's with all this terrorism? I guess maybe it's good, though. It keeps all the unemployed truckers busy.
What?
Apparently had something against truckers in 1989. Have you ever seen some of these guys? I don't even bother to stop at wayside rest areas anymore. It's always filled with truckers. And these guys smell. It's like you just want to toss them that soap on a rope that your aunt gave you for Christmas. That's bit number one.
Okay, what do truckers have to do with terrorism?
I don't know.
Were you terrorized?
I have no idea.
Perceived the body worst odor?
It's the worst stand-up comedy ever.
Oh my God.
Wait, here's something more timely for a 17-year-old. Why is it that parents always say the same stupid stuff when they let you use the car? Have you noticed this? Drive carefully. No, Mom, I think just for your peace of mind, I'm going to drive recklessly. And then, oh, this is a longer bit. And then you get in the car, and what's the first thing you do after you start the car? You change the radio station. Then you turn it on, because you know that if you turn the radio on first, you'll hear one of two things, either farm reports or some guy named Hank singing through his nose. So you got, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. So you got a good station on, you're driving along, listening to that great new Madonna song, and what comes on? Guns N' Roses. Now, I like Guns N' Roses, but come on. We got a drummer who looks like he got in some sort of a moose accident. Hair moose.
Oh, okay.
A bass player named Duff. Now, maybe it's me, but I picture a guy named Duff going to Yale. This is my comedy.
Are you confusing Duff with Biff?
One guitar player looks like Tippy Turtle, and the other looks like Chewbacca. And this lead singer, Axl Rose, is this guy strange? He actually has his nipple pierced. Can you imagine that day at the jewelry store? Hi, can I help you? Yeah, I want this pierced. Or maybe he had it done by Slash when he was a teenager in his garage with a needle and an ice cube. Slash is sitting there holding an ice cube on Axel's tit going, this will make it numb, it won't hurt at all. But then, like, Axel's dad walks in and sees this beast-like guy rubbing ice on his son's chest. Then people wonder why he got kicked out of his house. This is awesome, huh?
I don't know what to say.
I should have really gone into stand-up. And then I have this smooth segue. Has music evolved or what? We've ended the Guns N' Roses bit. Okay. We're moving on.
And you were even a fan of Guns N' Roses.
I loved it, but I was seeing it
through the eyes of a clearly comic.
Clearly hilarious. Has music evolved or what? It's all in the hair. What? The Beatles had mop tops. Elvis had sideburns. Mick Jagger had long hair. The Jacksons had big 8-inch afros. Now what we need is a Hare Krishna rock star. Wouldn't that be a fun fad to start? All the teenagers would be walking around with that one curl hanging down. And it would... All the Hare Krishna listeners have just quit. And it would save so much money. No more gel or mousse or berets or barrettes.
You were stuck on mousse, weren't you?
A nice red ribbon on holidays is all you need. Going after the Hare Krishnas? Uh-huh. New bit. We're starting a new bit here. No segue. What's with Barbara Bush? I was into the timely comedy. She looks old enough to be Reagan's sister. George calls her the Silver Fox. It's more like the Gray Sloth. No? Nothing?
No.
Nothing?
Sorry.
I'm not getting a single laugh here. Okay.
I'm laughing at the absurdity of it all.
No, this is, wait till this bit. This is a 17-year-old boy who had no idea what he was talking about. Am I the only person who's really sick and tired of hearing about safe sex? Here's where you know it's fiction. My girlfriend is really paranoid. The other night she insisted on...
Sorry.
The other night she insisted on using 3 condoms, a sponge, a diaphragm, and the pill. By the time we got everything in place, I felt like I got my dick caught in a laminating machine, and she had so much junk inside her that she couldn't walk. So I said, that's a... this makes no sense either. So I said, that's okay, we'll do it on the bathroom floor. But no, that was too cold for her. So I got mad and left the room. Wait, what the hell? So I got mad and left the room. She was left laying there trying to stand up and follow me like women always do.
Like women always
do when they're angry. They follow you and yell at you. You know that the reason they do that is because they think we'll leave, and they don't want that. They this is so bad. They know that they won't have anybody to boss around. That's why women have children. They're sick of bossing. They're sick of bossing around men all the time, so they have kids. That's it. That's my stand-up comedy act, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Thank you. Wow.
Wow. What was the deal with the bathroom floor? Because she had a sponge so she could clean something?
No, I'm guessing that it took so long to get everything in place in the bathroom. In my mind, it probably happened in the bathroom. And then she couldn't walk, so bathroom floor was the logical option. I don't know. Don't delve too far into this because, holy shit, this is bad. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was my... Wait. Let's get Eric Johnson to
close you out here.
There we go. Oops. There we go. There's your stand-up comedy for the evening, ladies.
Very nice.
Thank you. Did I make a career error? Should I have pursued this?
No.
The nice thing is, here in my notebook, for those people who weren't, in case the my own material wasn't panning out, I have like six solid pages of text.
Uh-huh.
That's the entire Richard Lewis bit from one of the comic reliefs. Word for word.
Did you memorize it, or did you tape while he was doing it?
Both. I think when I wrote it down, I probably stopped the tape. I mean, and Richard Lewis is very, like, his act is not, like, the most linear thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, I'll read a little of Richard Lewis's act from 1989.
Okay.
It's not funny.
It's not?
Well, not when it's written out like this. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Thanks for the intro. And, you know, I have so much on my mind and yet so little to say, unfortunately. I mean, see, I have like ahs and yas and everything in here.
Oh, my God.
I know. I studied this shit. I'm flattered to be here. I only have about 5 minutes. I'm honored to be at this charity. I just came back from New York. I was doing a Letterman. I stopped. I did a doctor. I'm really out of it. I'll tell you why. I did a Dr. Ruth thing. And I must say this right now. My mother's been calling me backstage. I love her. And yet, I'll tell you right now, she said the word penis 111 times in 48 seconds. She broke the penis record on a TV show. I was embarrassed. I'm sitting there. She said, I understand you went to Ohio State. Penis. She had to say the word penis. It was like there was a penis egg timer there. It was going down there, and yet I needed it. I needed her to say it. Anyway, it goes on and on.
Uh-huh.
I was a dorky kid. I feel like I need to redeem myself after the stand-up comedy.
I feel like I'm supposed to be like more supportive.
Not very supportive of my stand-up career.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
And I feel like I should, you know, I should have laughed more in different places. And
yeah, that wasn't very helpful. When I bring this act, no.
When you bring this act to Vegas.
Seriously, no, wouldn't it be hilarious if I took this act to an open mic night and did it as though it were current?
What's with Barbara Bush?
God, that would be, yeah, what
they call her the Silver Fox. She's like the Gray Sloth.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for coming out. I've been working on this act for 20 years. I'm going to do it for you now. Wow. So there you go. That is the beginning and end of my stand-up comedy career right there in my purple notebook. I do have other things here. If that was...
What else do you have?
I have some really, really...
I liked Robbie Rubber.
Robbie Rubber is awesome. I have some pretty good song lyrics that I wrote here too. I took a crack at that. Apparently, this is angsty as hell too.
Oh, you!
But the thing is,
friend.
I realize now that it's better read as it's not like it doesn't work as well if I were to read it as song lyrics. It seems to work better if I were to read it as a beat poetry. Style or not a beat mm-hmm. poetry style, like a what's that shit that poets
slam poetry,
yeah, something like where they talk like this. And Annie DeFranco, who I love, she does it once in a while, like, you know, poetry.
So you won't be going to any poetry slams in the near future?
No, but would you like to hear Eye of the Beholder?
Yes, I would.
It's 2 pages, it's a little long. But what the hell, we have time here and most of our listeners have already quit listening, but let's give this a crack. This is Eye of the Beholder, Tim Dress in 1989. Do you see what I see? Truth is an offense.
What?
You,
You can't... Oh, and offense. O-F-F-E-N-S-E.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I have to start offense. Over. You can't question the...
I'm like, truth is an offense? Like a fence that goes around your yard?
No,
what? You can't...
No. Okay. Let me say, I have to start over now. Do you see what I see? Truth is an offense. You silence for your confidence. Do you hear what I hear? Doors are slamming shut. Limit your imagination. Keep you where they must. Do you feel what I feel? Bittering distress. Who decides what you express? I don't know what the fuck. Do you take what I take? Endurance is the word. Moving back instead of forward seems to me absurd.
Nice rhyme there.
Thanks, Dr. Seuss. Doesn't matter what you see or into it, what you read. You can do it your own way if it's done just how I say.
Into it, what you read. Nice, awkward.
Independence limited. Freedom of choice is made for you, my friend. Freedom of speech is words that they will bend. Freedom with their exception. Do you fear what I fear, living properly?
Do you fear what I fear? That sounds like a ripoff of a Christmas song.
Truths to you are lies to me. Do you choose what I choose? More alternatives. Energy derives from...
Please energy. Tell me you spelled energy, not N-R-G.
No, I didn't. Energy derives from both the plus and negative. Do you need what I need? Boundaries overthrown. Look inside to each his own. Page 2.
But wait, there's more.
Do you trust what I trust, me, myself, and I? Penetrate the smokescreen I see through the selfish lie. This is deep shit. Doesn't matter what you see or into it, what you read, you can do it your own way if it's done just how I say. See, now you can see where it's lyrical because we're getting repeats here.
Into it, what you read.
Do you have problems with that verse?
Yes.
Independence limited. Freedom of choice is what is made for you, my friend. Freedom of speech is words that they will bend. Freedom with their exception. Do you know what I know? Your money and your wealth? You silence just to hear yourself. What the fuck?
Oh my God.
I know, this is awesome. Do you want what I want? Desire not a thing. I hunger after independence. Lengthen freedom's ring. How appropriate for the 4th of July.
Yes.
Wow, that is patriotic. Doesn't matter what you see or into it, what you read. I'm being dramatic now. You can do it your own way if it's done just how I say. Independence limited. Freedom of choice is made for you, my friend. Freedom of speech is words that they will bend. Freedom no longer frees you. Doesn't matter what you see or into it what you read. You can do it your own way if it's done just how I say.
Wow.
I know. It's powerful shit, huh?
It was something.
From the mind of a 17-year-old schmuck. We need some music. What do we want? I take it you're not that impressed with my 17-year-old self.
Well, I'm just thinking about my 17-year-old self and how kind of relieved I am that I no longer have any of that stuff around.
Yeah, I kept everything. It's sad. I didn't.
You want to hear sadder?
Yeah.
I gave mine away to a boy I liked.
You gave your what away?
Not that. Well, eventually that, but I had these notebooks full of really bad poetry.
Okay.
And I didn't have any other copies of it, and I gave it away to a boy I liked because I thought, oh, that'll really impress him, and he'll really like it, and I never heard
from him
again.
I hope he still has it. If he's listening, send it to us, please.
He's not listening, and
yeah, how do you know that?
I'm pretty sure.
Someday he's going to Google you, and this is what he's going to find. He's going to go, I still got those motherfucking notebooks. I pull them out every 4th of July and read them. They're hilarious. All right. We need some music. What are you into?
I don't know. I feel bad. I'm kind of at a loss tonight. Like I should be more chatty or something.
It's because you haven't been drinking as heavily as you did last time we did this podcast.
Do I need alcohol to perform at a certain level?
Clearly. There we go. Rolling Stones, because on the cover of this notebook, I have a giant... It's written in large letters, The Rolling Stones.
That's impressive.
I know. I didn't even bother to try to do a logo.
Bother to, like, draw... Yeah.
It's not like Slave Raider where I spent hours on the logo.
Painstakingly tracing and duplicating.
What would Robbie Rubber think? Let's see what's in notebook number two. Here I have an entire page dedicated to photos and quotes from and about Izzy Stradlin.
Same Izzy Stradlin you were making fun of earlier?
My favorite member of Guns N' Roses. So I had an entire page of things about Izzy. And then I have some inspirational quotes from some of my favorite rock stars of the 80s.
Oh, this should be good.
Or of the late 80s. On one page I have these quotes. With your bitch slap rapping and your cocaine tongue, you get nothing done. It's from Guns N' Roses.
I figured as much.
We pledge allegiance to our fans, for which this band will always stand. Poison. And then the long...
Brett Michaels in town tomorrow night.
The longest quote on this page. People always gonna try and tell you how to run your life, but what you have to do is make up your own mind. Who do you live for? Do you live for yourself, or do you live for what other people are trying to make you out to be? Great, so listen to what they say. That's okay. Just learn from it. But do it your own way. Follow your heart, and you will last forever. Lita Ford. I was inspired by the greats.
I think you were inspired by something else on Lita Ford, other than her words.
I was inspired by Lita Ford's leather pants. Yeah.
You had pictures of her in your locker.
I did. My locker was a tribute to Lita Ford and Debbie Gibson.
That's funny.
I know.
We're on opposite ends of the spectrum.
I know. I was a mess. Still am. Looking forward to the lawsuit from Mick Jagger and the boys.
We talked over it, though.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's still.
It doesn't matter.
It's still, wrong.
It's wrong. That would be wrong to play it on your show.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Okay. So,
do you want me to quote some of the stuff that I've written, or
really,
should we
are you prepared to do that this evening?
I'm not prepared to
I think we should wait formally until we've had a chance to mine through the cassette box in the basement for some of your work.
All right,
if you don't mind.
I
think you're trying to steal my thunder now that you know that I'm a stand-up success.
You're right. I'm envious of your 4 minutes of stand-up, and I would like to offer my 2 minutes of acoustic angsty.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Indigo Girls inspired.
The thing about that stand-up act is that there's not like a single crossed out word in the whole bit. Like, I just, that was it.
That was it.
There was no editing. There was no rewriting. That was what came out of my fucking skull.
Well, that's not bad then.
So if I had worked that out, I mean, hey, that trucker bit would have been a gem. What did I have against trucker? You know what I think it was? When I was a kid, I used to spend a lot of time sitting in the my parents' motorhome in the driveway. They didn't live in the motorhome. We had it for summer vacations. But we had a CB radio, and I spent a lot of time in the summers on the CB radio. And the people who were... The CB radio was the internet of the 70s.
It
and
was.
Apparently in the late 80s. the people on there who were regulars on the CB, who were like local people who hung out there, didn't like the truckers.
Ooh.
So I think that there was,
you picked up on their anger and their attitudes.
I was influenced by the local Twin Cities CB community and their angst, against the truckers. Who might have been passing through and have found our little channel, our little community on the CB waves. My handle, by the way.
Yeah.
As you know, before the days of having internet names, CB handles. I might have been a little influenced by Top Gun, for yeah. I was Maverick. Not influenced by Sarah Palin. It was Tom Cruise. I was Maverick for a couple of summers there.
Couple summers on the CB.
Yep. Good times. So
I used to go on the CB when I was in like third grade, and we'd be on road trips and stuff.
You were well ahead of me.
This was in South Dakota.
I was probably in my CB years were probably junior high. I was probably like 11, 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. But apparently the trucker thing lasted until I was well into my teens.
Mm-hmm. Trucker rage at 17.
What was your did you have a handle?
It was something really dumb because I
strawberry shortcake.
No, well, close.
Anita Martini. It was way back then. Your hanging.
It was way back then. Yes, at 7 years old, I was Into drinks, right.
Yeah.
It was something with Petunia in the name. I know.
You don't hear a lot of Petunia these days. Petunia was a big thing. Like, that was a common name, nickname, or... Was Petunia like a Little House on the Prairie thing?
I don't know. But I liked flowers, and it was better than... Well, I was really into Morning Glories, too, so it was probably...
What's the story, Morning Glory?
It's probably between Place Oasis. That and something Petunia, and... Yep. It was like Princess Petunia.
Now we're... Oh, yeah, there's a new Cheap Trick album out, my friends.
Yeah.
I haven't been on a Cheap Trick rant in a few weeks. So fucking good. If you want to hear clips of the entire album, listen to Rock and Roll Geek Show from a week or so ago.
Nope.
Father did a track by track review, and you get to hear.
Did you hear his opinions?
So good.
Track.
And any Cheap Trick rant I go off on is only a cheap imitation of a Michael Butler rant.
Yes.
Stand-up comedy takes a lot out of a guy.
Yeah, you look a little tired over there. You seem a little drained.
I'm a little disappointed in your reaction to my stand-up comedy routine.
I'm sorry. I was amused.
That's all I'm looking for. Oh, poor little Otis.
Where is he?
He's standing in the hallway. It's okay, buddy. Come here. Come here. It's okay. Oh, there's nothing sadder than a scared dog. He doesn't know what he's trembling. Okay. We'll listen to some more Cheap Trick while you're comforting our beast. Sick Man of Europe. That's the first single off of Cheap Trick's new album. When I was a kid, I did a mean Casey Kasem impression, but I'm not about to do it now. I could probably do a better Casey Kasem before my voice changed than I can now. And besides, impressions are creepy. So, what else is going on in your world here?
In my world?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I took care of the first half of the podcast, so
I'm supposed to step it up and take care of the second half.
I can't believe anybody is still listening, but
I know we were much more lively last time.
It's because we were a lot drunker.
Yeah.
Yeah. What music is yanking your crank these days? Anything I might have in my iPod?
None
of that shit.
New Green Day album. Love the new Green Day album.
Should we hear a clip of the new Green Day album?
Yes. They're coming here in a week.
I don't know if I played any last time or not. But
I'm excited to see them.
Yeah, you get to see them before I do because I will not be around when they're here. But we are going to take a little road trip to ensure I get to see them on this tour.
Yes.
Here's my favorite song off the album.
21 Guns?
Yep. It's a very good album.
This is the next single.
It's like American Idiot. It's kind of a themed rock opera kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And they've got some recurring themes throughout, like, the whole Christian and Gloria thing, and
it's awesome.
Yeah.
And if you don't like Green Day, well, fuck you.
Listen out. Dying for.
Does it take your breath away? I'd rather be sitting in my living room listening to Green Day than down on Harriet Island listening to Elvis Costello right now.
And the remaining listeners just stopped. There have been mixed reactions to Elvis Costello playing Taste, because a lot of the diehard fans are like, oh, there's going to be a festival crowd, there's just going to be a bunch of drunk people down there, and it's going to suck because no one's going to appreciate him. And
there's my confusion about Elvis Costello forever. he's always been lumped in. He's like kind of been considered like part of the punk scene. Yeah, explain that to me.
Maybe the whole radio thing, it was more in spirit than...
His music was in no way punk. I mean, it's all just labels, I guess, but some of his songs are all right, but I'm not a... I'm underwhelmed by his songwriting.
Yeah.
And his... and everything about him. There's only one Elvis, my friends. And it ain't Costello.
Big Elvis? I've decided that it's physically impossible for Mike Durnt, their bass player, to play bass with sleeves.
Is he always sleeveless?
Pretty much. I'm not complaining.
People are going to be really pissed that we're ripping on Elvis Costello while playing Green Day. They're going to go, I heard all this before. It was called The Jam. Yeah, well, The Jam didn't have melodies as sweet as those of Green Day, my friends.
Great. Now we've alienated all the Matt Goss fans. Now we're alienating all the Elvis Costello fans and the Jam fans.
I like what I like, and I make no apologies about it. And I don't like what I don't like, and fuck y'all.
I say, music is so personal.
Why do I go off on a rant about Pet Sounds?
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Then I'll lose everybody.
Oh, God. On the one hand, if people are inspired by something and they really like something, that's great, but it doesn't mean that I personally have to like it too.
Right on. I'm such a music asshole. And I can say these things with strong opinions and yet have New Kids on the Block on my iPod. How's that? How's that for hypocrisy?
I could never do a music podcast because...
We're doing one right now.
I feel like I have no credibility as far as, like, I don't know as much, and someone could say, oh, you don't like this, but you like this? Fuck you.
Exactly. That's exactly for me. It's like, shit. My iPod is, embarrassment in your pocket is what my iPod is, but.
Oh, you.
Yeah, well.
What's the most embarrassing thing you have
on
your iPod?
We were trying to come up with that last show, and we really didn't nail that down. I'm going to scan through here and see. In most people's book, it would be anything that I have here under Debbie Gibson, and you would not believe the number of songs I have under that.
Please tell me you don't have Butterflies Are Free on
no,
there.
No, I don't. That's good. I think I took any of the stars I had marked, any of the songs I had marked as one-star songs.
This was during...
Oh, wait a minute. I stand corrected. I have, this is the worst song ever written. And I'm a fan, in a manner of speaking. Hey, there's one person here who knows this song. One listener knows this song.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kino's Bad Guy. He's a Deb fan.
Oh, that's right.
He actually doesn't hate... Wait, no, this isn't the one. There's another song of hers that I hate that he likes. Which I'll have to find now. Nah, I won't. I won't play two songs, because that'll...
Then I'll leave.
This song is so bad. You have to hear the chorus, though. This is worse than my poetry. My beat poetry.
Yes. Okay, we have to hear the grammatical error. I hate that line so much. Love like butterflies are free. Love are free. No! Love is singular.
But I had some...
Butterflies are plural. Wait, you can't mix the two.
I have to go back to my...
And butterflies are free in itself? I mean,
I know,
really?
It's a horrible song. I told you I have one star. I can't believe I still have it on my iPod. I had in my... In Eye of the Beholder, my award-winning poem.
Your epic poem.
Whatever the hell that was. I had...
Your slam poetry winning entry.
This is grammatically fucked up. Freedom of speech is words that they will bend. Freedom of speech is words.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't work. So I was apparently, that was written well before Butterflies Are Free.
I think Torn Between Two Lovers by Mary McGregor is probably mine.
What the hell is that? Who's Mary McGregor? I've never even heard of that.
It's a 70s song.
Oh.
Do I need to say anymore?
No, please don't.
Can I tell you some of the lyrics?
No. Yeah, go ahead. Whatever.
Torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool, loving both of you is breaking all the rules.
We need something to get... I need something here.
Something to cleanse... You need a palate cleanser.
I know. You have any ideas? Something...
Cheap Trick?
Anything? No, I already played Cheap Trick. Here we go. Bob Mold.
All right. I'm sorry,
baby. Oh, that's better. But
you can't. It's like on Web Soup when they play something really gross and then they show kittens. Oh, speaking of Web Soup, all right. The last creepy video they showed, it was the segment Things You Can't Unsee.
Web Soup is a show on G4.
It's kind of like The Soup, except it's
internet stuff,
like viral videos and things like that. So they showed this creepy clown video, and like I saw maybe half of a second, and then I had to look away. I still had nightmares about it.
Sweet.
No, not sweet. I hate clowns. You know I hate clowns. Everyone knows I hate clowns.
I know you hate clowns.
Oh, I'm going to talk about the dream I had the other night.
Oh, which one?
Well, the suitable to share with other people one.
Okay, that's fine.
So I had this dream that MTV approached us to be on a reality show.
And why wouldn't they after listening to this podcast?
I know, we're so spontaneous.
Dyslexic heart number two, maybe dyslexic heart number...
The end. Oh.
We have at least 30 subscribers.
30? Really? we'll have two now. Yeah. Maybe. So, MTV approached us to be on a reality show, and we, like, signed a contract and everything, and we were, like, walking around and, you know, saying stuff. And
saying stuff?
I started going crazy, like, talking to the camera in this really weird, high-pitched voice, and I was all, and this one, next, will be on The Soup this week. Hi, Joel! Because I knew that it was so bad that it would probably get on The Soup because it was just ridiculous, and there's no way a reality show about my life would be that interesting. And so we started freaking out because, like, all these people knew who we were and we couldn't, like, go anywhere without being recognized.
Oh, it's like when you go to Vegas.
No. And and we were trying to get out of our contract, but we had signed this contract for 6 months. And I remember waking up and my first thought was, oh, thank God I'm not on reality TV.
Thank God. Whew, that was a close call.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll be knocking on the door any minute.
Just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just weird. I hate the dreams that are so real and then, like, wake up and you have to wonder if it was a dream or not.
Hey, you know who else is overrated?
Who?
Lou Reed.
Yeah?
You question that?
He's kind of like Alex Chilton for me, where he influenced a lot of people, and I'd rather listen to the people that he influenced than his actual stuff.
There are like three Velvet Underground songs that I can tolerate.
Really?
But...
Oh, let's see. Sweet Jane is excellent.
Okay, there's one.
Pale Blue Eyes.
There
She Goes. Listen to REM's Dead Letter Office, and they cover three Velvet Underground songs, and they're all excellent.
I actually have Pale Blue Eyes on here. What are the odds of that?
Huh.
It's from the adventure, because I have the adventure.
And Duran also. Perfect Day. Oh, Perfect Day is awesome. And Lou Reed has even said he prefers their version to his.
This is on the Adventureland soundtrack. That's why I have it. I really like that movie. But, okay, so, but overall, there are a few songs, but, like, I probably wouldn't like this song at all if it weren't for the fact that I liked it in the context of that movie.
Yeah. Baby, you just make me mad. I don't know. Is Lou Reed a likable guy? Because in my mind, he seems...
like an ass.
Really?
I don't know. No, I don't even know.
That goes a long way with me, whether real or imagined. If I perceive them as likable, I'll give them more slack.
Huh. Yeah, this is a tolerable song. Your pale blue eyes. Yeah, I'm just... Overall, I just think...
All right, who's in your overrated Hall of Fame?
Anybody who, with the exception of the Ramones, anybody who came out of CBGBs.
Really?
Most overrated shit. I mean, fucking Blondie, way overrated. Patti Smith is fucking horse shit. There's nothing redeemable about Patti Smith other than that she covered Springsteen, but she didn't do a good job at it, so fuck her. Anything that came out of CBGB, just, oh no, I'm sorry. The Ramones and New York Dolls. Anything okay. else is just fucking shit.
Who else came out of there that...
Lou Reed. I don't know, but I it's just bullshit. Consider I'm not even gonna I don't know. I've got the overrated wing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
David Byrne.
There you go. That's a CBGB act, isn't it?
At least I know people love him and revere him, but I cannot.
Oh, it's complete fucking shit.
I can't do it.
Yep. And then somebody will email me and say, have you listened to this album? No, it sucks.
It sucks and I hate it.
Exactly.
Let me go back to my Debbie Gibson record.
I'd rather listen to Take That.
This song fucking rules.
I know. It's the only song I have of theirs.
I have two others.
And it's because it was in the final episode of The Office.
Now I'm going to get all sad.
I'm not gonna play the whole thing. I'm just being funny. That the funny thing that I'm ripping on
because you weren't before.
Exactly. ripping on all these acts that are considered way influential, and then playing something that is by a boy band from Britain. I love that. I love the I love what that is. Mm-hmm. So
I could never be a music critic.
I think we already covered that ground.
Yeah.
Because somebody would always call you out on the shit that you had in your iPod from Stockman and Waterman Scott or whatever.
Stock Aitken Waterman.
isn't that the attorneys who, or not the attorney, the accounting firm that could make sure that the Grammys are in order?
Yes, that too.
Yeah.
But I'd have my music critic card taken away for not liking David Byrne.
David Byrne sucks.
I do like Wild Wild Life.
You know what I have no apologies for?
Huh.
My enjoyment of Rick Springfield.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I'm not talking greatest hits. I'm talking deep catalog. The Karma album.
Why do I always feel the need to apologize for not liking something? Like the whole David Byrne thing. I can't go all the way and say, oh my God, he fucking sucks. I have to say, wait, but there's this one song that I don't really hate.
I'll say it. Okay, there's like probably one song of David Byrne's that I don't fucking hate, but everything else I do, so he sucks. But Rick Springfield is solid.
He is.
And not just greatest hits, we're talking deep catalog.
Karma, what was his latest one?
I'd be lying if I said I had the latest one, but...
Really? The one with...
No, I think he's put out things since the ones that we have.
Yeah.
He puts out stuff about every 2 years.
Well, he had a cover album that,
the last
honestly,
one
I... that wasn't that good, but his last solo album that we have is good. It's got Saint Sahara on it.
And Shock, Denial, Anger, Acceptance. That's the last one I can remember.
I think so.
That was good, too, but Karma, yeah. Karma, which came out like, it's been a while, but...
Karma's great. The concept and the album.
That guy can write a fucking hook. And people are gonna.
All they'll remember is Jesse's Girl.
Well, the fact that he was on a soap opera and all that shit, and yeah, that he was like a really good-looking guy. But man, the guy can write a fucking melody like nobody's business. So mm-hmm. I like the pop hooks. This shit is good.
I think the key for me.
I went to Women's Expo to see fucking Rick Springfield. I was like one of six guys in an audience of.
Of a sea of women. A
sea of women at a Women's Expo. That's hardcore, man.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Rick Springfield in the parking lot of the Mall of America, for God's sake. I like this guy. That was separate from the Women's Expo. And I had to sit through fucking...
Greg Kinn.
The Greg Kinn Band.
The Greg Kinn Band.
Oh, my God.
Yep. His work since his big song has not been as consistent.
The Jeopardy song?
Yes.
Rick Springfield's work has been consistent for 30 goddamn years.
God damn it.
Do you love when I get fired up about stuff nobody cares about?
I do. I think it's funny. You should do a stand-up act about that.
I know, I should. What's the deal with pop music?
The key for me is having a good hook. If something has a good melody, if it's rock or if it's synthesizer, it just needs to have something that, like, moves me in some way, you know? It's always in a good way, not in a I want to go vomit way. It's always something. Every day it's always I am grossly inarticulate when it comes to music.
I just know I fucking love this album. Solid. Top to bottom. Especially the Japanese import version. I think there's a couple extra tracks on there. I am a dork.
And don't ask him to send it to you, because that would be wrong.
I'm not going to you send it to anybody. Thank you, Rick Springfield, for making my day. Oh, how many people are still listening?
Oh, God. This has been a train wreck of epic proportions.
I know. I was really looking forward to episode number two, and it's turned out to kind of suck.
I'm sorry. I feel like it's my fault in some way.
I was laughing hysterically reading my stand-up act the first time.
He was. It was great. And then he read it.
And then I get in front of...
I think you lost the momentum or something.
I should have just read it here without reading it beforehand.
Yes.
I had to read it beforehand. Otherwise, I would have really been stumbling over my words. Sorry. Sorry it wasn't as good as you had hoped.
No, it's a... It was.
I think you had expectations.
I did.
That was your mistake.
Yeah.
No expectations.
I shouldn't expect things from you? Is that what you're saying?
You shouldn't have expectations when it comes to 17-year-old me.
Okay.
I was messed up.
I was too as a 17-year-old and as an 18-year-old. And
What point did you get straightened out?
Apparently at... Let's see.
Probably when you met
23.
When you met me.
Yeah.
23, that was like a year after you met me, wasn't it? How old were you in?
I was 23 and 94.
Oh, okay. Oh well.
Yep.
Okay, I need to play something else.
Okay. I apologize for the quality of this show.
You should.
I feel like
you really messed it up.
I suck.
Yep.
Oh, my dear God. You know who I'm going to blame? I'm going to blame Zoe because her butt has been rancid.
See, for me, when I have a couple drinks, my sense of smell goes almost immediately. So really? When the dogs fart, I don't smell it.
Lucky.
I know. It's pretty awesome.
At least Otis has calmed down a little bit. He's not really shaking or anything.
Oh, that's good.
That helps.
He's chilling out.
Yeah.
All right. We'll play some local music. I should have played something more upbeat than this.
This is a good song.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it is a good song, but...
It's upbeat enough. Woke up this morning, it's not like you're playing a Sarah McLachlan song or something.
That only gets played when somebody dies. Although this week I could play that like a dozen times.
Like every day. I don't want to talk about that, though.
Okay.
Too much has been said about that. Unless you have something new to add to the...
Nope. I got nothing. This may be the worst podcast ever. Except for my stand-up comedy. That was kick-ass.
We should probably wrap this up. I feel like we're stretching again.
Really?
Yeah.
We're right at an hour. That's how long the last one was.
Yeah.
All right. Well, are we going to do number three?
I think what we should do is not plan it and just be spontaneous and, like, if the mood strikes.
So you're saying
us,
that the mistake was me 2 weeks ago going, you know what we're going to do in the next podcast? We're going to bring out my notebook with stand-up comedy in it. That's where we went off the rails?
Conceptually, it sounded like an awesome idea, and I was looking forward to it. I'm glad you shared yourself with us.
Is there anything? I know, I pull out. Nobody's ever heard this. It's 20 years in hiding.
The Robbie Rubber thing, honestly, was the best.
Okay, we're going to put a scan of Robbie Rubber on the website. And I'm going to do a Google search to see if I ripped Robbie Rubber off from somebody. This is pretty fucking hilarious. If I came up with that, I'd be really surprised.
It might be one of those things that's hilarious in retrospect. Like one of those Saturday Night Live sketches you watch and you're like, God, that wasn't very funny. But then a week later, you find yourself quoting it.
Which part are you going to quote? No glove, no love, or bag your... Before you bag her, sheath your dagger. I know both of those are not originals. Those I both ripped off from somewhere. The actual character of Robbie Rubber, I'm not sure about.
Oh my God.
This is fucking funny.
That is fucking funny.
Because Robbie Rubber is like kind of cross-eyed and he has the thumbs up. It's funny, but I had to have stolen that from somewhere because I can't draw. I think I might have even traced this. It's funny. Okay, I have to scan Robbie Rubber and put it up on the website. Scan Robbie Rubber.
That reminds me, did I ever share the British safe sex TV show I saw when I was in England when I was in 10th grade?
You tell.
So safe sex obviously was a huge thing in the late 80s, and we were just flipping channels, and these guys did this sketch, and it was, when you're feeling down and randy, always keep a condom handy, for all the thrills you get in bed will not help you when you're dead. Enough said. Why do I still remember that?
Wow.
Why? Why is that in my brain?
I'm amazed. Well, nicely done memorizing that.
Thanks. Can I remember the periodic tables of the elements? No. But I can remember the condom poem.
Our brains are funny that way.
Yep.
All right. So how did we end the last show? Did we have a song that played us out? Or
I don't think so. I think we just decided, hey, we're done talking the show? Now.
It seems wrong.
Well, do you have an exit number?
No.
Do you want to end it the way we started it? Paul Westerberg, I'm sorry that we're abusing your song.
Hold on one second. Yeah.
You listen to me, Jeff. If there are men in my wife's room wearing less than a f***ing turtleneck, I will come there and I will shake your foundation. I will shake the f***ing rafters. Nobody will be the same.